Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our host and teacher, Steve Butler. Today, our study is in the chronological series of end time events. Let's open our Bibles and prepare to explore Bible prophecy.
Hello, and welcome back to Exploring Bible Prophecy. In our last program, we were exploring some scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, which we find towards the very front of your Bible, one of the five books that Moses wrote, called the Pentateuch or the Torah. And in the book of Deuteronomy, as we were pointing out in our last program, was written to the second generation that came out of Egypt after the 400 years of captivity. The book of Leviticus was written to the first generation, and it explained basically what it would take for sanctification. It set up all the laws, the statutes, and the ordinances that God ordained for them to follow, and if they would follow them, they would be well in the wilderness. In fact, there were things that God told the Israelites to do in their daily life in terms of hygiene and so forth, that if we had done them as God had laid them out in Leviticus, we would not have dysentery and other hygiene problems that were experienced as recently in America as the Civil War. We were doing things that were bringing on dysentery and so forth, that if we had simply read Moses' directions to the people that came from God, we would not have had those problems. So just another example of how great our God is and how we do ourselves a great, great disservice by not studying God's Word and God's Word in detail. Because like he says, everything we need for life and everything we need for godliness is found in his precious Word. And we're seeing that specifically as we're focusing in on the introductory portion of our latest teaching program, which is chronological sequence of end time events, where we're setting the stage here through this introductory section of 30 events that take place starting from today through eternity, which we find described at the end of Revelation in Revelation chapter 22. And there are 30 events we want to get into, and we're going to do a kind of a 10,000-foot overview of those 30 events over the next number of programs, and then we'll go back in the future and look at a number of these events and dig into them deeply, which is what God wants us to do through the leading of the Holy Spirit, to understand in some detail what his future plans are all about, because he wants us to know the details. And the more we get into this, the more we study the sequence, the flow, and then get into the details, the more we see who God is, and the more we respect his word, and just as importantly, the more we can discern the falsehoods that are being taught today throughout the church through the leading, frankly, of Satan. These are, as it said, apostles, but it's teachers and preachers and whatnot that are being led for whatever reason to distort the scriptures so that the plans that they want to take place are described using what they say are the scriptures. But remember, they're taking them out of context. They're taking them out of context, particularly when they want to focus on the point that it's all about the church. And we really need to pay just attention to the church, that Israel is not important, that Israel does not play a role. Well, that's the primary part, the primary point and focus of our introductory part here, is to show you how important a role Israel has played, is playing, and will play, particularly will play in the future. If we don't have that depth of understanding in God's word, then these 30 events, really, you're going to have a difficult time seeing how they fit together and where they fit in the sequence in God's plan. So we have purposely, therefore, been going through a number of these Old Testament scriptures, particularly Exodus. We've now been in Deuteronomy, and shortly we're going to get into the New Testament, because I want to show you what is causing Satan to do what he's doing in the world. Remember, he is the power in the world. Ephesians tells us that. He is the prince and the power of the air. We don't battle against flesh and blood. In other words, we don't battle against mankind principally. We principally battle against Satan. So we need to understand, one, who he is, and that's why we went to Ezekiel 28 in our worksheet, our handout, to understand that. And then we went into John 8 and 2 Corinthians 11 to understand how Satan works. Because if you understand what Satan's, how he works, the kind of people that he works through, you can then understand what his plans are, because he is reacting to God here. So if we see what God's plans are, we can see what Satan's counter or reacting plans are, and we can be prepared for them. And I think that it is pretty clear what Satan's plans are, and hopefully by the time we get through our introduction here, you too will have a deeper, clearer appreciation for what Satan's plans are, because they are devious, and he is having great success, unfortunately. Not ultimate success, that'll ultimately be God's success, but Satan is having a fair degree of success in the world right now, executing his plan, which again, hopefully you'll understand here by the end of the introduction. But let's get back to Deuteronomy. We're back to Deuteronomy, where God is talking about his relationship with Israel and how they picked them out. He picked Israel out of all the peoples of the earth, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11, which we read last time, picked them out of all the peoples of the earth to bless them, to be his representatives to the world, to show the world what it is like to have one true God as your God, as your king, if you will. Compared to all the idol-worshipping peoples of the earth at that time. So we saw that, how he selected them, how he picked them out, and how he said he would bless them richly in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And now let's, staying in Deuteronomy, go to chapter 28. You see that in your worksheet that you can find at this radio station, whcbradio.org. And look for Exploring Bible Prophecy and click on that, and you'll see it. And you can download it for your use to follow along with us, and certainly to mark up as I do on mine. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 8 in all of Deuteronomy is known as the blessings and the cursings chapter. And it's very interesting because God knew the nature of Israel before they ever came into existence. And therefore, he prepared the blessings and the curse chapter to reflect that. And by that, I mean, look at the number, first of all, if you just turn the page there in Deuteronomy 28, as I'm doing in my Bible, you'll see that there's 68 verses. 68 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessings and the curses. And as we go through this, I'm going to read the blessings. And that's not going to take very long, because my point is, of the blessings, you only have to go down to verse 14. So verse 1 to verse 14 are the blessings that God has promised Israel that will happen. They haven't happened yet completely, but they will happen because God is a covenant-keeping God, so we know that this is going to be the blessings to Israel in the millennial kingdom, because he's promised through covenant to bring them back together to be his people and he to be their God. He's going to put David as king over them. He's going to have the 12 apostles in the New Testament back to sit on the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. He has it all planned out. It's all there in the scripture, and it will come about. But the point I wanted to make here in Deuteronomy 28, just as a observation, is starting in verse 15 is where the curses start. And remember, we counted how many? 68 verses. So from verse 15 to verse 68 are all the curses that God has told Israel, I will bring on you if you disobey me, if you turn away from me, and if you become unrighteous. So he's told them in advance. Remember, Deuteronomy was written by Moses to Israel, to the second generation that came out of Egypt just before they crossed the Jordan under the leadership of Joshua. Remember, Moses died under the leadership of Joshua into the promised land. So before they ever got into the land, he told them what would happen if they disobeyed him and what would happen if they believed him and obeyed him. So let's look at the first 14 verses here in today's program and just get an appreciation for what God has planned for Israel that has not taken place yet fully, but will take place in the future when Jesus comes back to the earth and sets up his millennial kingdom. Verse 1, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Ponder that for just a moment. Remember what he said back in Deuteronomy 7? "I have picked you from the smallest of all the nations. You are the fewest of all the people groups in the world." And yet he's saying here that if you obey me and you follow my commandments that I give you today, and he's laying them all out here in Deuteronomy, he says, "I will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Israel will be the preeminent nation in the world in the millennial kingdom. You will have to search hard today to find anyone who teaches that, because it goes against the current narrative that is frankly being driven, I believe, by Satan to drive all the important scriptures about Israel out of the church and to replace them with scriptures about the church. I believe when all of this happens, the first thing is the church is taken out of the way in what is called the rapture, and then God turns his attention back to his wife. He brings them back together. He tests them through the tribulation. He refines them through the fire of the tribulation. And those that are found righteous, those are the ones he's going to bless with these blessings in the millennial kingdom, the first of which is, "I will set you as a nation of Israel above all the nations of the earth." What an amazing promise and prophecy that is. Verse 2, "All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. All these blessings will be yours." Verse 3, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your breasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your beast and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you." Verse 12, "The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be beneath. if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. So hopefully you see in the reading here how God is going to so richly bless the nation of Israel. The unfortunate thing here is that this was given to the nation of Israel 1,400 years before Christ was born. And that would be, what, 3,400 years from today. Yet even though it was all laid out to them as plainly as you could possibly ask it to be laid out, the Israelites turned their back and refused the commandments to follow the statutes, the ordinances. They did not follow them as they should. So consequently, God gave them 15 through 68, the curses that would come upon them. And certainly all of those curses have come upon Israel, including the diasporas, the scatterings of the people. It actually lists two different scatterings in Deuteronomy. You had the 586, then you had the 70 AD, where the peoples are still scattered because of 70 AD. So we find that the Israelites are indeed suffering the consequences of their disbelief, their unbelief in God, even though he's laid it all out in front of them in such a beautiful way that, hey, I've married you and I want to bless you as richly as the God who created the universe can do. So there is nothing better, right? There's no better blessing. And I offer it to you, Israel, if you'll just obey me. So from that point, the moment they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, all of these promises to be the preeminent nation in the world, to have all the nations of the earth fear you, would be theirs right then and there. And at any time in their future could be theirs, but they never would turn as a nation to their Father God and to believe ultimately in their Savior Jesus Christ. They turn their back on him. But the point I want to make as we bring today's program to a close and move into our Q&A, that God is a covenant-keeping God. And what he has promised to do, remember back in Exodus 6, the seven I wills, when God says he will do something, he will do it. And it's regardless of what you do, he will bring his plans to pass in his good timing. And we can bank on it. God will fulfill his promises after he has dealt harshly with the nation of Israel through the yet future tribulation. He will then turn his blessings to Israel in full measure, opening up the storehouses of heaven, because the Israelites that will be left on the earth after the tribulation will all be counted as righteous. As it says in Romans 11:26, and all Israel will be saved. That at that point, all of these blessings will come to fruition. And we'll develop that just a little bit more in our next program. But again, we want to turn to our Q&A session, as we always do at the end of each of our teaching programs, to answer a question from our listeners. And we've had one we've been working on with Roger in Kingsport, and his question was, what happens to unbelievers when they die? And we've been talking about Hades and about how unbelievers go to the torment side of Hades, and I say side because there were two sides, the torment side and the paradise side, before Jesus went to heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection. Up until that point, the righteous and the unrighteous both went to Hades, and the reason for that was the righteous went there because they could not go directly to heaven upon death. Their spirits could not go directly to heaven because they had not had the perfect sacrifice made for them. They had been counted as righteous in the Old Testament, and as Hebrews 11 tells us, they were waiting for something better. They were waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. And we find in the book of Acts, the promise was Jesus Christ, the promise to the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was that Jesus Christ would come and provide that perfect sacrifice. So upon his sacrifice, he went down into the paradise side of Hades and took all of those people captive, as they're described in Ephesians 4, and took them to heaven. So at that point, the only people in Hades were the unrighteous, and that's where they are today. And they will be there and have been there since the time of Cain, when Cain killed Abel, the first unrepentant person counted as unrighteous in the Old Testament. Cain is there, and everybody who is unrighteous upon death are put in Hades, awaiting the final judgment, which is the great white throne judgment described in the end of Revelation. And that's when all the unbelievers of all time are judged. And upon the conclusion of the great white throne judgment, they are then thrown into the lake of fire. And that's what we've been talking about in our last couple of programs here in answering Roger's question. And we went to Matthew 25 to get a description of that. So in the New Testament, in the first book towards the end of Matthew, in Matthew 25 and Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, those two chapters are together called the Olivet Discourse. And this is when Jesus is talking to the apostles early in the week of his crucifixion. So this is the last week in which he dies. And early in that week, he gathers the apostles together, a handful of them, not all. And he describes what's going to happen to Israel because of their unbelief, because they focused on the temple and not on the one who the temple was built for, which is Jesus. Focusing on the temple, he's going to have that temple torn down, and another temple will come up, and that, of course, is Jesus, and he will be rebuilt in 3 days or resurrected in 3 days. So he's telling them a yet future event about his resurrection. But then he goes into a description in the Olivet Discourse of what's going to happen to Israel because of their unbelief in Jesus, that they're going to go through a terrible time culminating in what's called the tribulation, the capital T Great Tribulation that has been prophesied in the Old Testament. It will take place, and that will be the refining activity of God, the refining of Israel. And coming out the other side of the seven-year tribulation will be a purified Israel. And in Romans 11, verse 26, it says, all Israel will be saved. So that's the refining moment when he does that and puts his attention on Israel. So during that tribulation period that we're talking about with Israel, there's going to be a judgment of the Gentiles. And we were specifically talking about that in Matthew 25, where 24 is talking about the tribulation, 25 is talking about the judgments following the tribulation. And in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, it says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And as you go through these following verses here in Matthew 25, it talks about how he's going to take all the Gentile nations of the world and divide them into two groups, the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are the ones who treated Israel well during the tribulation period. And remember, to treat Israel well during the tribulation would bring the wrath of the Antichrist on you most mightily. And you most likely, a lot of those people lost their lives because of that. But these are the people, the Gentiles, who actually made it all the way through the tribulation, having helped the Jews. So they're called the sheep, and the other group is called the goats. And the goats are those who mistreated the Jews and probably turned them over to the authorities of the Antichrist, the Jews were killed because of that, or at least mightily suffered because they had been revealed by these Gentiles who did not believe in Jesus and were turning on the Jews, who were the people of the Lord. In fact, he refers to them, for instance, in verse 40, it says, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least these of my brothers of mine. So he's referring to the Israelites. So those are the people that are going to be punished, and it says how they're punished in verse 41. And the focus of our answering Ron's question here, this point, in verse 41, it says, then he will also say to those on his left, those are the goats, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So we see the purpose for why Hades came into existence in the first place and why the lake of fire would follow then after the great white throne judgment would follow, that they would be put into the lake of fire. This was prepared for the devil and his angels. And we want to go to 2 Peter to develop this about why it was prepared for Satan and his angels. So we're in the book of Matthew. We want to go further to the right here quite a bit. If you find the big book of Hebrews, then you're getting close. You need to slow down and get through Hebrews and James. And when you get just to the other side of James, you get into the two books of Peter. And we want to get into Peter, 2 Peter, and we want to go to chapter 2. So 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. So we see several things right here. We see that the angels, when they sinned, and when did the angels sin? We head back in the book of Genesis, early on in the book of Genesis in chapter 6, and so we're talking about how the angels, a third of the angels, turned against God when Lucifer, one of the chief angels, turned against God and became Satan and desired to be God, and God cursed him and punished him. A third of the angels went with him. And those angels came down, and many of them mated with women. They left their first estate as angels and mated with the women to introduce the satanic DNA that we're told about in Genesis 3:15. And they tried to pollute God's creation. They polluted everything, and consequently everything was killed, everything was destroyed in the flood because of that. And as a result, God put these angels into hell, and basically described it as pits of darkness, and said they were there reserved for judgment. So that's what we want to talk about next time, is these angels in heaven or in hell being reserved for judgment and what that's all about. And we'll do that in our next program. But remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
You've been listening to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our host and teacher, Steve Butler. For more information on this or any of the Exploring Bible Prophecy programs, visit whcbradio.org. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB Radio.